Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by David from Hawaii. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for having me this evening on the show.
Great. It's great to have you here. David, I understand that you're a monthly donor to Living Compassion. How come?
I am a monthly donor to Living Compassion, and just hearing you say that out loud is kind of tied together with the answer, and that is that it's available, and it just feels really, really good to be a part of that, to be a part of something that I get to give to every month that has been giving to me for quite a few years now.
Uh-huh. So it's something that you feel good about giving to, and it's been giving to you. And we talk a lot in this practice about supporting that which supports us, and I get that kind of flavor from what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. It really does on so many levels. It's this idea for me when I think about this, the monthly donation, that there's this opportunity for me to step outside of kind of a usual pattern of maybe being in a little story with conditioning about how I'm on my own, how I'm separate from everything, and it allows me to actually feel part of a bigger team, if you will, that I'm kind of interconnected with all these other people who are also supporting something that has been giving back to many people, I think, for quite a few years now.
Yeah, I'm not sure about for you, but for me it's a real privilege to know that I can support something that's been passed down for century after century after century, and that there's a role for me to play in that so that it's available for new people to find in the future, and that they'll feel that, you know, incredible opening and gratitude that I've experienced, you know, as a result of being part of this.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a really good point. You know, the contribution that is being made now, kind of my involvement with Sangha and with practice is a result of people for, as you said, for quite a while now, kind of contributing on whatever level they were able to contribute. And so all of a sudden I find myself here in a situation where, you know, I'm benefiting immensely from this practice, and to think that maybe, I'm connected to it in the way that I am. Perhaps maybe in years to come, maybe people will be looking back and perhaps I'll be included in one of those people who has kind of perpetuated practice.
Yes, yes. That's a really sweet thought, the way you framed that, that you're part of what's making this practice possible today and, in fact, possible for people to find it in the future as they come to it as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah,
and I get
so many.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I get the sense of, you know, we talk a lot in this practice about the illusion of separation. And to me, what being a monthly donor myself also really helps me to cut through that illusion of separation, that somehow, you know, I'm different from the monastery or from other people in the practice or from anything. And for me, it's a real way to connect with practice, to support that which supports me, and to really cut that story short from conditioning that will say, you know, you don't give anything, you're not generous, all you do is take from practice. Being a monthly donor, you know, I just set it up, and that's the end of that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's such a good point that you're making. I mean, the way I get that, what you're saying, is this idea that here I am, and conditioning loves this idea that, you know, I'm this one person, and, the kind of story would be, well, you know, your one donation, you know, couldn't make that much difference. And, you know, besides, you know, you need the money for your everyday life and all the rest of this stuff. And yet, when I take a step back from that and I just step outside that, you know, that idea that I'm giving on a monthly basis, and as you said, it's just kind of set up and it's in there, it allows me to really see that that whole story, the whole story kind of falls apart, because when I look at what the monastery is doing and how much practice is being offered and how many, you know, opportunities they are for an immense amount of people all over the world, that whole story that my contribution wouldn't make a difference, it just doesn't hold any weight. And you know, part of what keeps me brings my attention back to this is the idea that every month this is going on for me.
Yeah, every month this is going on for you, and you're connected to it, and you're supporting it. And for me it's just a real, it feels like it just brings me onto the team. It keeps me engaged,
yes.
Keeps me in the program. I know that I'm supporting something that's valuable to me, and it what comes up as I'm talking is that I'm making an investment. I'm making an investment in myself and in practice. And conditioning will kind of want to make a story about that I'm giving this to the monastery or to practice, but my experience is that in the giving, I'm really receiving a lot.
Yeah, I'm smiling as you're saying that, because that's exactly what my experience is with it. Is that sometimes, you know, so here I am giving to practice, quote unquote, and yet it's almost like the more I'm giving, the more I'm actually receiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where do we draw that line between this is a giving or, I mean, it's really both, isn't it? You know, I think that's what you're pointing at, is that, you know, is I give to practice, the more I give to practice, the more practice kind of turns around and gives to me.
Yeah. Almost like the more you give, the more you get.
The more you give, the more you get. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And to me, the beauty of what you're pointing at is there's no limit to it. You just give and give and give, and you receive and receive and receive.
That's right. That's right. And that line is kind of blurred every step of the way, because, you know, there's just such a heart opening. You know, it gets back to what we were pointing at earlier with this. You know, it is an individual. You know, I give, but then there is this sense of a greater community where I can see the results of the collective giving in all the opportunities that are kind of benefiting from whatever amount that I've chosen to kind of donate each month.
Yeah, it's like each of us is required or called to do the best that we can. And as you're saying, the results of that, to me, are really tangible and beautiful, and practice is alive. And as you said, it's offered to people all over the world, you know, through every kind of technological medium we can think of.
Yes.
You know, really, in my experience, all it requires is my willingness to come to practice.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely, the willingness to come to practice. And then what's on the other side of it is that, as always, kind of practice meets me, practice kind of meets me halfway, you know, there or even more probably. You know, there I am, and, you know, I have the willingness, and it's all kind of set up for me to just, you know, give in this way. And as we were talking about a little earlier, to kind of hopefully perpetuate practice and kind of carry it on for the next folks who are touched by this.
Yeah, really keeping the doors open for practice.
Yes, right.
As we were talking about early this year, 9 or 10 months or so ago.
I think that's right, in March or April or...
Yeah, yeah, and it really, with the whole, as you know, economic financial crisis around the world, nobody's immune from that. And my experience was that we really all came together and saw what was important to us and really contributed to that.
Yeah, that was certainly kind of the, you know, that was the point for me where, you know, through the keeping the doors open, you know, that was where the opportunity really sprung from. So it's such a great, it's such a great example of practice where, you know, it was a very challenging time. You know, it still is for many people, and yet there was an incredible practice opportunity that allowed, I think, from that kind of gave birth in a way to the idea of the monthly, the regular monthly donation.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's really a beautiful thing. And I want to mention to people that if you're interested in being a monthly donor, it's quite easy to do. And you go to the website and click on donate, and there's options there for, you know, the frequency with which people want to donate. And the last thing I want to mention is that as a monthly donor, you get some special deals as well.
That's right.
Which is
That's
very
right,
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. David, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Michael. It was a real pleasure. It was a lot of fun, and have a great show.
We will. Pleasure was mine also. Thank you, David.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, good night.
Bye-bye.
Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
Great. I love listening to the good news update. How are you?
I'm great.
Sounds like it.
Excited about life? Excited about practice?
Me too. You know, I'm doing an email class.
Oh, I had heard that.
You had heard that rumor?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. And I have much the same experience that you fellows were talking about. It's a lot of work, which, you know, practice often is. And I just love doing it because I get so much more out of doing it than you know, the whole participation. You know, I'm working. We could say, oh, you know, I'm really working hard, and you know, there's this some feeling of, you know, making some sort of sacrifice or something. You know, but I love it so much. I get so much out of it that, yeah. And of course, you know, I mean, people have paid for the class. I can say, you know, I love it so much. I just almost want to send the checks back, but actually that's not true. I really like it when the, you know, the whole thing works. Everybody,
yes.
It feels like everybody is kind of getting what would we say, you know, plenty or more than we would expect or more than our money's worth or whatever it is out of it. Then that's a really good deal.
Yes, because in my experience, the teachings are really priceless.
They are priceless.
You can't put up a price on someone guiding you to the kinds of experiences that we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And, you know, when I'm doing a class like this, it's just so obvious the level of suffering that people are in. You know, it's tragic. And, yeah. I mean, there's... For me, and I know for you and, you know, just most of the people that we spend most of our lives with, there's nothing that we would rather be doing because there's nothing that comes anywhere close to being this rewarding. And to know that there's something that we have access to that in any way, some small degree, could end some of that suffering that people are experiencing, that's just a... It's a powerful, wonderful thing to be able to do, to be able to have access to something like that, to offer it, to contribute to making it available in the world to people. It's a good deal. We can be very, very grateful to all those people through all those centuries who have done everything they could to bring this to us today. And as you guys were saying, you know... Now we get to be a part of that tradition.
Yes, doing our part.
Doing our part, yeah.
And it's to me, it's what just occurred to me as you said that, is that the beauty of it is that as I benefit, quote, myself, unquote, I'm really benefiting all.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In really subtle ways and in ways that are more gross than we like to think about.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, every person on this planet who isn't walking around in a cloud of self-hate and misery is making a tremendous contribution to everyone and everything. And from that increased or decreased suffering and increased level of conscious awareness and kindness and compassion for ourselves and for everyone else, you know, we just want to make kinder, more compassionate choices and decisions. And that helps things too. I was talking with somebody today who is going off for the weekend to hunt wild pigs. And I just thought, you know, of all the things a person could be doing with their lives, it just makes me incredibly sad that what somebody is so excited about is taking a gun and going out into the woods to kill little animals. You know, I kept quiet about it, which was a great practice of restraint.
Yeah.
As I listened, but I just thought, you know, that I project and I own the projection. That can only happen when a heart is closed.
Yes.
You know, that's not the kind of choice that people make when their hearts are open and they're feeling joyfully connected with all of life. So I'm be participating in something that has as its goal open-heartedness and kindness and compassion and even, in fact, enables me to keep my mouth shut and not me to offer my opinion to somebody's weekend activity. Good. We're lucky.
We are lucky. We are lucky. We're also lucky because we have many callers.
So I will keep my mouth shut right now, and we will hear from some of them.
Okay, great.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
This is Chris. It's been 6 weeks since my last confession.
Well, Chris, I have to tell you that this afternoon I was working on the class, and I took a little break, and I was doing the dishes, and the thought went through, I wonder if it's been 6 weeks. I wonder if this is Chris's night to call.
Huh,
so
neat.
There we are.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Well, all kinds of things. A lot of them are some new practices I've come across, and let's start to describe a couple of them. My wife was on retreat recently, so that means I'm on retreat at home.
Yes,
and
work retreat.
And this is, I don't know, her third or fourth retreat, and it was the best one for me at home while she's been gone. I remember the first one was a train wreck, but things went well here. And one of the things I was doing while she was gone was smiling, even if I didn't feel like it, because I know I've read places where just using the muscles and essentially faking it can bring you into a better mood.
Yep.
And I've read that before, so I just started doing it. I'd be lying in bed, and I'd smile, or driving to work, or doing whatever. And it, well, golly gee, it worked.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. You know, another one that's like that for me is just standing up straight.
Huh.
Standing up straight and letting my shoulders drop down, and as our Pilates teacher says, our helium balloon head float up toward the sky, and let all that tension drop out. Then you put that smile on your face, and if you're in a bad mood, you no longer know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. I bet the kids liked it, too.
Yeah, they seem to. I mean, I didn't tell them about it, but I was just, I don't know. I just made the point of thinking, like, when I see them, throw a smile on. And usually it sort of, I don't know, warms up the smiling muscles enough so that a second into the smile, I'm actually perhaps feeling a little bit like I actually want to smile, even if
yeah.
I didn't before.
Yeah, yes. Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Okay, then.
Yeah, and another one that I like that is just to make sure that I am in as much relationship with nature as I can be in as often as I can. You know,
mm-hmm.
if it's during the day to just walk out and look at the sky, see if there are clouds, is there any breeze blowing, is the sun out, what's the temperature like? And at night, just to see the stars or know what the moon is doing, it's that same kind of brings me back here, back to myself, back to what's really important to me, more important than any thoughts that might want to be traveling around in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, telling me that you were essentially thinking about me today was, of course, made me feel good inside. It reminds me of another practice, which maybe the monastery can start if they have time, which I would call a random phone call from a monk. The day that my wife left on retreat, my cell phone rang at work in the morning, and I didn't even glance at the number calling me, and I picked it up, and the person asked for my wife, well, she's not here, and I said, is this Chris? I said, well, yes. And then, well, this is so-and-so from the monastery. Oh, hi. And we had about a one-minute conversation just about an email regarding something about the retreat.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so we weren't practicing reflective listening, and it wasn't the content of the call was just whatever. But after I got off the phone, after that 1 minute, I was just, I don't know, I was all giddy and happy and excited for about the next hour straight. And then throughout the day, I could recall that conversation, and it still brought it up. And that was really neat.
Yeah, just reminded you of practice, reminded you who you are, to come back to you. And,
in a way that I can't, that doesn't normally happen.
Yep. Yep.
And it was just, I don't know. So I'll sign up for 10 or 15 calls a year, and then they could just.
Yeah, and just periodically, you're just going around, and there the phone rings, and.
And it's a monastery. Hi.
There's your message from a monk. I like it.
That was just really neat. And then finally, the last thing I'd like to say is I just read an essay about a person who convinced their mother to, whenever she found herself complaining about something, to add on to the sentence, quote, and my life is really very blessed, end quote. And her mom did this for a while, and she noticed a change in her mom. And so I've been saying that a lot lately, and my wife has to do this around the house, and it sort of helps, it just helps a bit to keep things in perspective. If, like, today I went to the store and the shoes I wanted to get didn't fit me and that kind of thing, and reminding myself that, really, my life is very blessed.
Yes, and the thing that I like so much about that is both of those things can be true. You know, you can be disappointed that the shoes that you want don't fit, and your life is really blessed.
Yes.
Both of those are true. You can feel exactly as you feel without losing that larger context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just love the whole and thing, the whole and instead of but. That's on one of the first the open airs, that's at least on iTunes. And I remember hearing that. The very first time I heard that, people talking about that, I was just like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And now I can really feel the difference that, but, this is, but is it a total, like, cut off, whatever you said, but I say this, and it's a complete separation. This thing and is able to hold both opinions or points of view together.
Yes, yes, they're both so. They are both true and equally valid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny. I just had that conversation with somebody recently who's going, what? But what is that? I mean, come on, what? You know, that's just semantics. That's just, you know, that's just word games. No, it's not. Because what it does for us is take us out of a dualistic orientation of life where one thing is true, and if that's true, then the other thing is not, and puts us into a non-dualistic reality in which we have two sides of a coin, and they are equally valid. So life is on a continuum rather than this or that. It's this and that. It's not semantics at all, is it? And the thing that you said, you can feel the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the key to it. Because it just shifts everything around in our reality when we get that.
It does.
Good.
So, thanks for being here, both of you. I appreciate it.
I just had to
share those things I've been doing lately. Not all the time, but when I can remember, they've been all very helpful.
Well, and one more thing about that before you go. Again, I really like and appreciate and practice in my own life, and that is getting as many of those things going as is humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
And getting as many other people enrolled as is possible.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you mentioned you and your wife go around the house reminding one another of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 practices going And at just about any time during the day, one of them is going to pop up and remind you to to come back. And we can live in those all the time, and they are actually what create the space that's required for life to have access to us. You know, it seems people think, well, if I'm doing that all the time, I mean, how am I going to remember to, or how will I ever think of, or, you know, where's creativity if I'm always doing these practices? But those practices actually create the openings for the wisdom and intelligence that animates you to enlighten you. So it's a very fruitful kind of activity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank
talk
you.
Talk to you in a few weeks.
Yes, you will.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to have a quick sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Carolyn in Boise.
Hi.
Hi. So this was actually one time, maybe the first time, that I was hoping that my call wouldn't get through, that I would have a perfectly good excuse to not do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it did.
Because life is good and kind to you, and in its infinite wisdom and compassion, things work out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for you, not for conditioning all the time.
Well, I hope that's true. I'm trying to throw open a door here, and I hope just making the call is going to help me do that.
But it will.
Because I'm starting to have these feelings like this whole topic is way too advanced for me.
Uh-huh.
So, I'll tell you.
Can I interrupt you for just a second?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Don't lose that thought. But I have to tell you that I don't have to tell you, but I want to. That when I was in that conversation just a second ago with Chris, and in the conversation earlier that David and Michael had, I was thinking. Not thinking exactly. But it occurred to me what a pleasure it is to watch people's practice deepen over time. You know, we all come to awareness practice feeling like, people are largely talking gibberish. I don't know what they're talking about. This is, as you've indicated, you know, this is too hard. It's beyond me. And the voices start in with the, you know, I just need to quit. This is not for me. I need to whatever. And when we stay with it over time with practice, it deepens. Things open up, gets clearer. The voices are seen for what they are. We begin to get things, not necessarily understand them, because that's not the direction we're going, but we begin to get it. Stuff makes sense. We see how it works.
Yeah.
This is going to happen to you too.
Boy, you know, the "it's too hard" phrase, or "I can't do it," is one that's really with me a lot.
Well, can I tell you why it's with you a lot?
Sure.
Okay. It's because It's what we talk about as egocentric karmic conditioning. You know what that is, right?
I think I'm getting to knowing what that is.
It's that system that wants to run your life. And what it says is, this is too hard. Quit doing this. You quit doing this and just come back over here and live unhappily ever after with me. It's too hard for you to wake up and end suffering. Just stay here and suffer with me.
Yeah. When that it's too hard phrase comes up lately, what I've been saying is, well, you know, it's pretty hard the way I've been doing it too.
That's right. Yeah. It's hard being in an intimate relationship with you, voice in my head. Yeah. What could be more difficult than that?
Yeah, so I'm reminded that, you know, I'm brought to trying it this way that seems too hard because it was too hard the other way anyway.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. We are driven to awareness practice through suffering. You know, that system finally makes us suffer to the point that we are out of choices. And that's what, for an awful lot of people, that's what gives us the strength, the courage, the whatever it is to try a different direction because it's intolerable the way it is. And then 10 minutes into it, you know, that same voice that's been driving you absolutely crazy is telling you, oh, no, it wasn't that bad. Now just calm down. Come on back. We can work this out.
Yeah, that does sound pretty familiar. So, one thing that caused me deep suffering came up, I guess I'll tell you how I got there. An area that I've been looking at lately quite a bit is the stories that are attached to physical sensations. So that led me to sort of the biggest and the hardest and the most confusing, perhaps, of all time physical sensation, which are, you know, sexual feelings in the stories that are attached to them. And I realize that this is a pretty well-greased road to suffering and self-hate.
And have you noticed that you don't seem to be alone in this based on the evidence we see in our culture and all other cultures?
Well, that is another one of the things I'm trying to tell myself when it comes up.
Yeah.
Because certainly one of the, you know, the keystones of the suffering that's attached to this is you know, the apartness, feeling apart, feeling like the whole world's having experiences that I'm not having. And it's my own fault, of course, that it's that way.
Mm-hmm. And there's a voice there always ready to interpret all of this for you in the worst possible light.
Yeah, boy, if it was just one voice trying to interpret it, that would be progress.
Yeah, but it's a team, isn't it? It's a tag team.
There's really a lot, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's almost as far as I've gotten. You know, maybe I've picked it apart just a little bit more and realized that those voices they're the usual suspects. There's nobody new in here. It's just that all of them are here associated with this instead of them.
They've got a subject matter, right?
And they love it.
Oh. Well, what they love is the torture. You know, they love the attention. So if you think about it, if you're just going along in your life and you're just a regular, normal person having a regular, normal life, okay, your attention and awareness would be available for you, regular, normal person, to enjoy your regular, normal life. Okay?
Yeah.
But that system wants all the attention for itself. It wants to be the center not only of your life, but of the entire universe.
Yeah.
Okay? And so the way to do that is to simply campaign in a way that demands all the attention and awareness be on it, as you've noticed, 24/7.
Yeah. Boy, all of that, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you wake up in the middle of the night and into a story.
Yeah. Oh, I wake up in the morning. Yeah.
When I'm
awake, I have at least half a chance of, you know, trying to fight it, but it's there as I awaken.
Yeah. So again, you know, I said this the other night to a group of people, and they, you know, there's such resistance from the system that we're describing. Okay. But if you consider that this, what's going on with you, is exactly like a 24-hour news station. Okay? So what it's trying to do all the time, it needs viewers. Okay? It needs to get those bodies in front of there because that's what sells the advertising. That's what makes the money come in. And so they've got to be coming up with the wildest, most inflammatory stuff that they can come up with all the time to get the maximum amount of viewers involved and committed and staying there. Yeah?
Well, yeah, and I mean, they've found the perfect tool. I mean, these were kind of built, I think. I mean, you know, it's not just a physical sensation. It's a drive. I mean, it's a really,
oh,
really
sure.
important physical sensation for human beings.
Absolutely.
And it's very hard to just say to unlink the voices from the sensation for one thing. But I mean, they're both as loud as and intense as I think any of those can be.
Here's the deal. Would it be a problem without that media hubbub?
I don't know. I guess.
It's a good question,
mean,
isn't
I know the right answer. The right answer is no, it wouldn't be a problem.
That's right. Yeah. And so now the work is to get from what we know is the right answer to an experience of the right answer that frees us.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And
yes.
That's where you are. So for me, the really helpful part is getting what's going on. You know, it's like the media being obsessed with Paris Hilton. You remember that? Remember Paris? remember when?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay, and so you know, it's just it's like sharks around a wounded whatever, and so if we can see that that's what's going on, we don't have to believe either the content or the process. Okay. So if we just put it out there like that, okay, here are all of these people going nuts over Paris Hilton. So what we can step back and say is, wow, what is that about? You know, it's clearly not anything to do with Paris Hilton. It's not that there's anything so extraordinary about what's going on. What is that? What happens with human beings that they get into that kind of fevered, frenzied, crazed bunch of opinions and ideas and trying to come up with being shocked, you know, offended by their sense of right and wrong. And, you know, what is that? What is that serving? Now you're going in what I think is a helpful direction.
Hmm.
You know, just to step back from yourself and say, oh, come on. I'm a human being. Human beings are built this way. What is this fuss?
Yeah. And that's being a hard step to take.
Absolutely.
With other things and other sensations, I guess, you know, getting a glimpse. It's getting to be fun, I guess, because I'm getting a glimpse of something that's going on. How how the stories and the feelings are associated. And you know, when there's a little crack of light, it's you struggle, and then there's this little crack, and it's like, wow, that was really fun. Okay, maybe that was worth it.
Here's the
that little crack isn't happening yet, I guess.
Yet. But approaching it in that way, it will.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'll get to see it all.
Yeah, it's a pretty big hook. I mean,
it is. It is. It's a very big deal, which is why the entire world is obsessed with it.
Yeah.
The only thing rivaling sex is money. And for most people, they put them together in a really compelling way.
Hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, thank goodness that I don't put those together, I don't think. So I guess I've got that step, maybe past that step. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's all so much more. All parts of it are so much more intense than the usual run-of-the-mill feelings.
It's loaded. But here's the deal. The process of it works in exactly the same way.
Hmm.
You break it down the way you break anything else down, which is why I always encourage people to start with less loaded things.
Yeah, and there's the, is this too advanced for me piece of it.
Well, it doesn't matter. You really don't have much choice. Right?
So, I'm there and it's happening, so.
Exactly. So the answer is no, apparently it isn't. And you have worked on this with less loaded issues.
A little bit. I've started,
Yeah. So you have a sense of the process.
Okay. Well, to be honest, the most important thing was actually just saying this out loud to somebody.
And
you know, what the answer is, it may not have even mattered, but I'll listen to the archives and see.
That's right.
But I'm hoping just having not hung up and said it out loud is going to open a door.
That's right. You've got it outside of your head and into a larger arena.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that enables us, when we do that, it enables us to have a little bit of distance, some perspective. That's what we're going for.
Okay.
Good. Remind her she's very, very brave.
I will tell her that.
Yep, she knows it. It's just really helpful that for her to know that you know it.
I see. Yeah.
Okay.
I will tell her that.
Keep me posted.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Carolyn. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Some courageous people out there, Sherry.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yep.
And many of those courageous people have called in.
Mm-hmm.
So we
have another. Which makes the archive such a helpful tool for people. You know,
tell me more.
When we're feeling all alone, like, you know, I'm the only one struggling with this, we can listen to hours of courageous people going through very, very similar processes to the ones that we're going through.
Yes. Great. Sherry, we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hey. It's good.
What's going on?
Well, I just think it's, I'm so grateful to the previous caller for her call, and it's actually surprisingly and amazingly the same subject I wanted to talk about.
Well, we're on a theme.
Yeah, we are.
Huh?
Well, I have been seeing this this pattern going on where this relationship that ended 8 or 9 months ago now, it's kind of coming back. The whole sadness stuff is coming back again, and I'm, you know, and there's a really strong, fairly sure part of me that just knows this is a scam. Okay, so I just want to say that. But there's also this part of me that continues to get hooked, and It's like I am watching a screen and scenes from our relationship come up, and so there's two of us there in the audience, and the part of me that's like, this is just conditioning trying to get me all upset about this. This is cruel. What is going, you know, and just kind of gets worked up about how cruel this is. And then the other part that's just kind of in tears because it's like, oh, my God, I'm never going to have another relationship. I'm never going to have sex again. I'm never going to be in this, you know, and it just gets so the one who's really being hurt by all this. And that's where I kind of get stuck is someone, you know, just I think self-hate kind of just running the projector and running the show.
Oh, yeah. Selling tickets to the performance. And,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, parallel kind of thing. So that process is happening with us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Something goes on, and what I mean by that is our karma is constantly cycling through.
Yeah.
Right? And people get very upset about that because it's like you survive it once and you think, and you get to a place of insight about it, clarity, big breakthrough, maybe lots of tears, so grateful. And then 8 or 9 months later, here it comes again. People think, now, well, this is wrong because I went through that. I let go of that and here it is again. So, and which is a big clue that, well, actually, apparently I didn't let it go. Because I'm really upset that it's here again.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a breakthrough, and then I thought I could push it away. And what I found is that didn't work, and now I'm upset. Okay, so that process is going on with us all the time, with darn near everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You watch that, right?
Yeah,
I'm really fascinated by this, or I'm into that, or, you know, I want to go to the gym every day. I have no interest in working out. I'm going to start cooking really healthy meals for myself. You know, I hate the kitchen. And with those kinds of things that we go through, if we're paying attention, we realize they're on some kind of a Disney World track here. You know, I'm there by the side of the track, and here comes that car with that, and then here comes the car with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, of course, this is, you know, it's time for this to come around again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right? Now, if it were, you know, concerned about money or, you know, the environment or, I don't know, whatever people, you know, get something going about, that's one thing. But this is a really painful something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're not that excited when it comes around.
That's right. It's not fun.
It's not fun. It's not fun. And so as with the previous caller, of course, to me, the place, what's available to us is the refuge of realizing what this is.
Yeah.
And that the reason I'm so hooked by it is because it's a really charged piece of karma for me.
Yep. Well, where I can feel myself wanting to go, and I do this a lot when, in, you know, other times it's cycling through, and that is, I don't know if it's taking a bigger perspective or if I'm intellectualizing it, but some of the self-talk that comes up is, well, this is a big energy, and this is a creative energy, and it's a big energy that I'm, you know, this whole sexual energy is about, what am I trying to say? It's something that I am getting some practice at handling in a way that's new and not, you know, not my habitual way of dealing with this energy,
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, does that sound like I'm intellectualizing
well,
it? Well,
the thing about it is, this is a part of practice that I find helpful. There is only one energy. So when that energy is in the first chakra, we call it sexual energy. Mm-hmm. When it gets blocked up in the second chakra, we call it emotional energy.
Mm-hmm.
When it's in the third chakra, we think of it as a striving or an ambitious energy. When it's in the fourth chakra, we think of it as compassionate energy, or, you know, the kind of milk of human kindness energy. Okay, mm-hmm. When it's in the fifth chakra, we think of it as me energy. You know, this is when, okay, I'm gonna turn my attention to my life, and I'm gonna do, you know, whatever it is. When it's in the sixth chakra in the head, we think of it as mental energy. When it's in the seventh chakra, it's spiritual energy. But it's all one energy. It's just how we are reacting to it.
And do you suppose this the story of the relationship that I'm kind of currently getting hooked by that is keeping it stuck in that and interpreted as the sexual energy?
Oh, sure. Because, of course, the first chakra is survival stuff. You know, it's survival of the individual and of the species. So this is, you know, this is reproductive stuff. This is home and hearth and family and, you know, having enough of everything. This is, you know, what's going to happen to me kind of energy. And so there's a tremendous push that most human beings feel toward getting those first chakra needs, end quote, met.
Yeah. So how do you, you know, so, well, I know the answer is to drop the conversation and to get here. I know.
It really is. And to have the sensations as sensations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
because,
it.
You know, I don't know if you've heard me talk about this, but it was one of my favorite moments. I was doing a workshop, and this woman, you know, launched on this thing about how, you know, all she wanted was a relationship, and she just couldn't find a partner, and, you know, all that meant for her and, you know, her everything. And I said, when you came in, did you see that guy sitting outside the place? You know, he's this homeless guy who's sitting outside the door of the place where we're having the workshop. And people practically had to walk over him to get in. And she thought for a minute. She said, yeah. I said, I think he's available. And the look on her face, you know, it was just this kind of shocked horror. And so where we went from that is you don't just want a relationship. That's not what we're talking about, because I can set you up. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So once we get that, here's the point of that story. Okay. Once we get that, then we begin to explore all of the things that are behind that sensation and the label that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you could have a relationship. You could have sex.
Yeah, and you know, I think that, you say that, and there's a part of me that says, yeah, yeah, and there's part of me that says, no, I can't. That's exactly what I want, you know?
That's
so
right.
There's where the duality is kind of...
Sure. Because what it really means is, but I want it with that person who looks like that and acts like that and is in that relationship with me, and it means that, and what's going to happen then, and the future, and the whatever is tied in with it. But it is much, much, much more complex than a set of sensations in a particular part of the body.
what is more complex, the whole story?
Yep, the karma.
Okay. And so you're saying, so what you're saying is let the sensations just be there, experience the sensations, and get to the simplicity of it.
And what will be revealed, of course, in that process is all this other karma that never gets explored because it's hiding behind, but what I want is...
Oh. Okay, so in my particular scenario right now, what it's hiding behind is the screen in the theater that's showing the story of this relationship.
That's right. And all that karma gets to stay right in place there because the story is...
Yeah, it's grabbing me, and it's captivating me. And so, if I can stay with the sensations and just divert my attention from the story long enough to stay with the sensations, then that screen will sort of like go down, and I can see what's behind it.
Right, and the fast track to that is, what does it mean?
The fast track. Okay, what does what mean?
The There's that movie scene.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're gonna do a film, and we want to make sure that every frame of that movie communicates the meaning that we want people to get from that picture.
Yeah. I'm seeing what it means.
Yep, it's a good description of karma. And if you consider it, that's what, and now I hope everybody, whatever their particular thing is, what we're getting all the time are these snapshots. And we go right to the meaning of those snapshots without ever getting it, that's what's happening.
Yep.
So there's a snapshot, you plunge into depression, you know, you're just ecstatic with excitement, you're in despair, and no idea how that just happened.
Yeah. Wow. And today's email class was so much about, but what I saw was that it is so what I think of as me.
Yes, yes.
And when I did that exercise, I think it was this morning, when I did that exercise, I thought, my God, what have I been practicing? You know, I just got that, just how close it is, close and persistent it is.
Yes, how deeply people believe that their karmic conditioning is who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
That how deeply we are conditioned to believe that what happened to us is our authentic being. How little access most people have to authenticity.
Yeah.
Yeah, how long people have to practice before there's a glimmer of, wow, Maybe it's true that what I am is the awareness that sees all of this. Maybe what I think of as me, what I really am, is that intelligence that's animating this form, not those endless stories about what's wrong with me. maybe that's not my authentic nature. Takes a lot of looking.
It sure does, you know, and it's easy to go where the previous caller was saying, you know, she was going that it's just too hard, it's too complicated and all that,
yep.
But it's easy to go there, but you know what, the good news is that it really just takes time,
yeah.
You know, it just takes time and persistence, I should say,
yeah.
You know,
to make the connections.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when you tomorrow or, you know, tonight you walk outside and you look at the stars in the sky, or tomorrow you, if you're up early enough, you look at the sunrise, or
mm-hmm.
you look at whatever it is, and mm-hmm. you say to yourself, that's what I am.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
animates that is animating this. It's not
yeah.
that conversation. It's not the endless yammy, 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 yammy about what's wrong with me and what's wrong with them and how this isn't and how that isn't and how I should. It's not that. When I look at those clouds in the sky, I sense intuitively they're not in that conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And free.
Yes.
Oh, and it's just bringing up so much gratitude for a teacher to point this out over and over and again, and just to have this present. And so just deep gratitude.
Yeah, show to you, my dear.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Courageous night, Sherry.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. Powerful. Powerful what people are doing.
Powerful, powerful. Sherry, we're going to have a sponsor break, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have 7 minutes and seven callers.
Ooh, ow. I intuitively sense that it's not going to work.
You
but
are very
we'll do our best. Huh?
Yes, we will.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Greta from Washington.
Hey, Greta.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing fairly well. I've really benefited from the previous callers.
Uh-huh.
I and the email class is being very helpful. The sensation that I am dealing with is the one of having a lot of pain in my body. And it seems that there's a very big role that conditioning is playing in keeping it there.
Uh-huh. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, because I wanted to kind of get a homework assignment from you to help me try to work with this a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I have a diagnosed disease like cancer or something. Mm-hmm. But I've always had a lot of muscle pain, and, you know, they look and they look and they don't see anything going on. And it seems that this is a way I am holding myself in the world, you know, that it's part of a survival strategy,
mm-hmm.
that I need to be, you know, somehow protecting myself by being really tense,
mm-hmm.
or that the only way I can do what I need to do is to, you know, sort of push my way through. I'm not going with the flow of life. I'm pushing against it.
Uh-huh, which takes a lot of muscle power.
Well, and what happens is then, you know, I have a lot of physical pain. I have headaches all the time. Then I'm not very functional. And all of my energy is consumed in dealing with it and managing it, and then all the conditioning that goes around how that process unfolds. And the constant conversation about, you know, okay, so something's wrong. What is it? Have to analyze it. And then, you know, there's a big set of choices about what's the right thing. And what I just saw in working through the email class exercises is, you know, if I can solve this, if I can fix it, I will really be the right person.
Uh-huh.
I will be having the right life experience, because this is not a very good life experience.
Yeah.
And yet,
and it's proof that there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And yet, there's this whole unconscious process, which I'm just starting to see, that is you know, that voice of self-hate that's constantly picking at me is keeping me tense. You know.
My God! Just stop there. Just stop there. Just stop there. That is too important to just say and go on.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see if I got that right.
Okay.
So what you're realizing is that voice constantly picking at you, we can guess about the fact that you're not the right person. Yeah?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that
in so many different forms.
In every aspect. In every
right.
moment it's going
right.
to point out how you're not the right person.
Right.
Which leaves you tensed up. Not against life, but against it.
Right.
Yeah. Just constantly
and then in my, you know,
haranguing you.
Right. And I can project outward on other people, and then why they're the way they are and why I have to be the way I am because I have to deal with them or whatever, any unfolding scenario
yep.
that we talk about in practice.
Yep. It fits. They all fit perfectly within that structure.
Right.
And the bottom line is
mm-hmm.
it's your fault.
Yep. Yeah, because if I could just figure it out, then I wouldn't be going through this.
Yeah, and it sounds actually like you have figured it out.
Well, I figured out that's a big part of the process. There are so many players. I mean, all my personalities are, of course, involved in this.
Yep.
Because it's been going on for so long.
Yeah. The good news, though, is that the process is one process.
Right.
The subjects. The content, the life circumstances, infinite.
Mm-hmm.
The folks inside and outside who are involved, legion. The
right.
process is one process.
And, you know, part of the whole scam is that this is really real.
Oh.
Because it affects everything that I do
sure.
and how I feel and how I am. And there is a very good reason. There's the proof, you know,
yeah.
over and over again, there's
right.
the proof.
Well, and of course, it's so believable because it's so pervasive.
Right.
It's true in this moment. It's true in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's true with that person. It's true under those circumstances. It's true there. It's true there. It's true there. Yeah, it's true because the same voices are pointing out to you how it's true in this situation, in that situation, with that person. Yeah. You followed me on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing I've noticed is that, you know, at there's a part of me that, you know, says just suck it up and tough it out, you know, and I know how to survive it. But then there are times when it gets to be so bad that I finally get back and I'm, you know, I'm in one of these recurring cycles, just like we were talking about with the other callers, where it's so bad that I have to get help and more than just taking medication. And I go through that for a while till I feel better, and then I stop. And
because the voices tell you.
Right.
Yeah.
And somewhere in all of this, I think what you were just pointing to about, you know, looking at where the energy is and what chakra is that, you know, I always want to solve it with mental energy and that being our tendency. And there's a place to find compassion in this that could solve it in a much bigger way.
Yes. Okay. You ready for your homework assignment?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So here's the mantra. It's a mantra.
Okay.
It's mantras are good. They give us something to focus
mm-hmm.
on. And
mm-hmm.
so you know how to, you know, tie your fingers together, write
mm-hmm.
it on the inside of your eyelids and the dashboard of your car and everywhere else. Okay. I am the right person because I'm seeing how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Can you picture it?
Yes.
Because that is the ultimate right person thing to do.
Right.
I am the right person because I am a person who is devoted to ending the suffering of this person and all persons.
And that's exactly that place of, okay, so I get to the point where I feel okay, but I don't get to the point of ending suffering.
Well, that's right.
And
that's what we're going for. And that is in that perspective, through that mantra, to
mm-hmm.
realize that the job description, the life work of the right person is ending suffering. And, of course, you know, for anybody else listening in, we're putting it in this language because it's your language. We're not putting it in this language because it's everybody's language, okay? But in the language of your karma, then to get that the thing that actually proves to you once and for all that you are the right person, as everyone is the right person, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get that, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So the thing that proves that you're the right person is that you're doing this work.
Right.
And not to lose sight of that. I am committed to ending suffering. I am committed to bringing compassionate kindness, loving attention, and awareness to this human being. That's what makes me the
mm-hmm.
right person.
Definitely.
And it's coming back to that perspective over and over. So you remind yourself of that, which brings you to your commitment. Then you take a long, deep breath, feel your shoulders drop, feel the tension drain out of your body. Remind yourself again. Okay? You're going to do it every time you can think of it.
Right.
From now until the rest of your life.
Right. Yep. Yeah, well, as the other caller said, it sure beats the alternative.
Yes, and it is true, you will feel better, and there will be that desire to quit and go back to, I can do this myself, which will really make me the right person, which is the fast track to being the wrong person, because there is no ego that can do this for her or himself. Okay, so that's the fast way to be the wrong person. The right person is the one who dissolves into the moment and lets life make the adjustments. Okay? So as we go on with this work, and you're going to sign up for the next email class too, right?
Yeah, I'm already there.
Okay. Then the technique that's going to be revealed in all of this, the one that's coming out in the new book, is the one that you're going to be practicing forever, as the rest of us will be
mm-hmm,
right
mm-hmm.
along with you. Yeah.
I'm very grateful. That just sunk in very deeply.
Good.
All of that.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yep, I get it.
Okay. Take
yep.
good care of her.
I will. I
all
will.
Right.
Thank you so much, both
Thanks.
Of you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Another hour of peace has passed, Sherry.
Don't you just love these people and this practice?
I do.
I do.
I do.
Let's do it again next week, Michael.
Let's do it again next week, and I'm really going to invite everyone who we can't get to tonight. Please call us early. We'll do our best, and everyone else listening and practicing. Grateful for all of them, too.
Mm-hmm. Deeply, deeply grateful.
Deeply grateful.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.